With my back twisted in a knot, I wake up. My head is filled and clogged with bits of the city that have blown in. Dust particles, train sounds, victim fragments. My senses are muted and my thoughts echo as though a sustain pedal is being pressed somewhere in my organs. Through my haze I reach for him, and in a frantic moment I am pawing and digging through the covers. I cannot see the length of the mattress with my tunnel vision. I look for hair. I look for a body. I feel for the warmth of flesh near me or an indentation in the bed. Nothing. Oh Jesus, where is he? I'm still mostly asleep. It takes a painful eternity to untwist myself and get up. There's a hole in my stomach and the distance between the floor and standing seems impossible. My first full vision is of the window. When did it get so gray in here? Common sense starts rolling in like fog, covering my panic slowly. It's alright, I say. He's in the bedroom. Some nights I am too restless in my sleep, some nights he's too restless in his. So he leaves me on the mattress in the living room to toss around in my own dreamlands, not out of frustration, but out of comfort and consideration. I believe my dreams take up too much room and Morpheus steals the covers. No matter, I am awake now, and I want him next to me, always. I am so selfish with beautiful things. I stumble through the hall. I must be dreaming. I don't remember this many doors. I am not in his apartment, but in the corridor with the odd smell and harsh light outside of his front door. I cannot find his door. The numbers are gone. I feel strange and alone. The only things that break my isolation are his nightmare paintings that line the walls in between the doors. I've never seen these before. But by the style and colors, I know they're his. I know he's near. I am comforted by alizarin crimson like a womb, and suddenly the blinding white doors are easier to take. I open the first one. Two women sit talking on a couch. They are drinking Merlot, and the room is black and white and beige. It's the kind of apartment I've never lived in. It's nice. They pause, wine in hand, and look at me. I can't speak. They glance around and I can tell I've made them uncomfortable. The room is filled with beautiful things that distract me and I almost don't recognize them. Then I see it. Two composites of my friends, no one in particular. This leaves them somewhat faceless, but I know them so well, and I'm almost happy despite my confusion, happy to see my friends in any form. Then I get it. I look around. This room, these people, nice things, nice clothes. The room is screaming success, and I cover my ears. It hurts almost as much as the look of embarrassment and disappointment on my friends' faces. I didn't finish college. I didn't get that degree or that good-paying job or that nice apartment. And I shop at thrift stores because I have to, not because it's the latest thing. I want to say I'm sorry, and I'm not sure why. My ears are on fire as I close the door. Thank God she's gone, they say. What an uncomfortable situation. She's a nice girl, but she really could have done something by now. Next door, I am greeted with the smell of coldness and powder. And even the off record is playing somewhere, and a man is standing, swinging lightly on the table. He is a doctor. He is familiar. Let's have a look, he says, as he pats the table. I start running between my legs when I realize where he wants to look. I know this man. I want to scream and tell him that I know he's not a doctor, but again, no sound. There's a bathtub in the corner filling up with water and the clanging of steel instruments crashing around is driving me mad. I'm stinging so bad I can hardly stand still. He runs a latex hand down my cheek and the heat inside of me rises. In silence I fall back on the phonograph, disturbing this beat of song. I scramble for the door. I can't breathe in sheer terror and panic accompany me to the next door. For the first time I can speak. The dam breaks in the back of my throat and in my sinuses. Tears and mucus flow in my words. I don't want to see anymore, I cry. I was just looking for someone, I want to go back. The next door opens for me and the next one after that and so on and so on and so on. Sound hits me like gunshots. With each bang I jump and choke on fluids. There's the man I screwed over. I think he was in love with me. There's disappointed family, people I've lied to, people I've let down, people that have seen me falter, teachers, classmates, bosses, ex-boyfriends, customers, friends, all who didn't understand. Some are laughing, some just stand there and shake their heads, and some do nothing because they know that I know that they know my secrets. Running down the hall, I can't see through the tears, and the carpet is so plush and thick that it slows me down. I see the bedroom door, I know he's in there. God, what a nightmare this has been. I'm 10 feet away when I collapse. As I hit the floor, the carpet doesn't feel as plush, and blood runs down my cheek. When I wake up, I'm on the mattress, twisted in knots, the same as before. Let him sleep because soon he'll wake up and have to open his own doors. There are rooms inside of us all that we must visit every day. Memory compartments, anger chambers, painful paths, dark hallways, humiliation suites. This is what we're made of. This is what we face. Regardless, I can't help but to wish and hope and pray that the only door he has to open today leads him to me. I have enough rooms for the both of us. I have enough shame for the world.